Hey gang, welcome back to the Brianna Approved podcast. I am tray excited because not only are we doing another segment of Trickle Down Therapy, but we're doing it with one of my absolute literal favorite people that I've been so honored to have met through Instagram. And as some of you may or may not remember, episode 32, we were graced with the presence of Isaiah Frizzell. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What I like to start the Trickle Down Therapy with a question that I think you're going to like.
Okay.
It's going to prompt our conversation. And then we're going to also do a fun segment, which I kind of already gave you a little sneak peek on, but it's called Right On or Rubbish.
Okay.
And for those of you who may or may not remember, behavior change specialist, all the things that you do. I mean, coaching, you have been on a book tour, you have a second podcast now. I mean, we have so much to catch up on.
Sure.
But in the wellness world, there's a lot of like these fluff bumper sticker sayings. So we're going to say, is this right on or is this rubbish? But to start the show, I'd like to ask my homies, what has either been keeping you busy, been keeping you interested, or been keeping you up at night?
Oh, what's been keeping me busy, what's been keeping me interested, and what's been keeping me up at night?
Or any of them. You don't have to answer all three. That'd be a lot.
Okay. What's been keeping me interested is, I guess just like future endeavors, but also I've been reading a lot of books. Like, I'm a bookworm, so right now I'm reading like 5 books at one time. And it's like the goal is to finish them, but also like some are like horror fiction, for example. So the goal is to like see where the story goes. And so it's definitely been inspiring me in terms of like the book that I'm currently writing, which has also been kind of keeping me up at night too. In terms of busyness, I'm not really, I always tell people it's like, I'm not a busy person. I just do a lot.
Yeah.
So there's never anything that's really keeping me busy besides me just like doing everything I need to do. So,
well, let's not belittle all of the accomplishment that's been going. I think the last time we talked, I don't know if you either had one book already or now you're straight up doing like a book tour, basically.
Yeah.
Guys, he's signing autographs at Barnes and Nobles. I think the last time we talked, I suggested you getting like a legit book tour bus and trucking it to Jersey. I haven't seen it come through yet, but I will be at the signing. You also now have, I think, a second podcast called Wellness Wise Guys.
Yes. So it's funny. It hasn't even become a podcast yet, but I was telling my buddy that it's just going to have to be a podcast. Right now, it's just an Instagram channel. And it's, two guys that are very much involved in wellness of all aspects, not just like the health and fitness side, but also like mental and emotional wellness too. And you know, you get some wisecracks, you really get our personalities in it. And it's just like the Wellness Wise Guys, we're just doing our thing, chilling, you know, but having a very in-depth conversation around everything that we just do life-wise. So
I just assumed it was a podcast because from the video clips that I've seen, I was like, this is great. I love it. You guys have really good natural banter and chemistry. And so I was like, oh my God, first of all, one podcast is a lot. I was like, I can't imagine doing two, but I was like, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be you. And I think now since we last spoke, you're also working with clients because I don't think you were doing that at the time.
Yeah. I think the last time we spoke, I was working with clients. Like, you know, privately, but it was also, since we last spoke, it's just taken on. I think it's probably been, if not 2 years, close to it. And I'm like, it's a constant now. Like, clients are a part of my constant for the last 3 years now, 4 years.
So are you getting like a lot of the same? I feel like when I work with people, it's usually the same kind of archetype. I get a lot of type A recovering, people pleasers, perfectionists, like all that. So it's usually just younger versions of myself. So it feels a bit anecdotal with my advice sometimes. Yeah. Are you seeing some collective themes right now? Are you seeing some things that are coming up and you're like, this is super exciting? And I've learned a lot by working with this client as well. And I had to dig in and do some research.
Yeah. What am I seeing? Actually, you know what? It's funny. I think I'm just exploring a lot of different variations of you know, self-worth, self-acceptance, but also like navigating relationship dynamics. A lot of people that come to me are working through, you know, marriage or, you know, their relationships long-term. Some people come in working with family stuff. Very few have come in with friendship, but I think that's actually starting to happen more, where people are like seeking out friendship coaching and friendship therapy, which I love, because I'm like, yes, and, you know, it's necessary. But yeah, there's typically the variation, like most people that come to me are trying to figure out how to value themselves better. Yeah.
I just said to my brother maybe a week or two ago that I feel like the next trend is going to be friendship breakups. And I've been actually talking about this a lot recently, because when, even if I do a video, sometimes I'll talk about relationships generally and people just immediately go to romantic. And I always say relationships are relationships. The principle are kind of the same, and the things that you bring to the table. So
yeah.
I love that you're doing that. I mean,
yeah.
Have you experienced, what's kind of been your evolution of relationships with friendships as you've gotten more into self mindset stuff and all, like what's been happening?
Oh, what's been happening, I think for me, it's like I've doubled down. It's I tell people all the time, it's like I've always been who I've been. I've just kind of gotten older. You know, friendship has always been something that's very important to me and been a focal point for my life. And now that I'm older and I speak to it, even as a guy, like, It's just the norm now. And yeah, you know, it's you learn a lot about your friends the more you understand what your definition of friend is, and relationships will change, and you will understand whether or not you are on the reciprocal end of a friendship, or was it just you sustaining it? Like, there are all these different things that happen when you get a little bit more clear about your intentions and what your dynamic is, like what you're actually seeking from another person. So for me, it's been a constant, but I think also, you know, again, as a guy, I'm fortunate and I'm grateful that the conversation around male friendships is starting to be dissected a little bit more, because there is a certain level of superficiality that is appropriated, that statistically is just not good, because later in life, men typically don't have close male friendships. And that's why the, you know, depression and all those other things are very high, because they don't have close male connections later in life. They don't know how. So
do you think that's like a combination of sort of, yeah, men not always having the emotional tools slash not being cool to talk about emotions slash like sometimes they're just drinking buddies, and then life evolves and they're like, well, now I don't know, this friendship was built on this and now we're here and we're in very different phases of our life.
Yeah. It's all of the above. I think it's like, there's the convenience of, you know, like, I forget where I read it. I think it was actually a psychological thing where they say, you know, men sit shoulder to shoulder, women tend to sit face to face. And, you know, sometimes if you're sitting shoulder to shoulder, like, yeah, there's a certain level of connection there, but there's also, to some capacity, there's a wall where it's like, I never have to look at you, right? Intimacy is intimacy. So I never have to see you, you know? So therefore I can navigate in such a ways where there's the vulnerability isn't really there. So I never really have to be fully uncomfortable.
Didn't you do a post recently on intimacy versus vulnerability?
I think so.
So what's your definition of the difference of those?
So in terms of, there's a difference between transparency and vulnerability, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was it.
So transparency is like, transparency is usually just saying whatever you need to say. You're being fully transparent. Like, you know, somebody can say, hey, I don't like your shoes, or I don't like you. It's like, I'm being fully transparent. But vulnerability can say, hey, I am afraid that you might leave me, or you may not care about me as much as I care about you, right? Vulnerability is sharing information that could potentially result in you being hurt. Mm-hmm. That's vulnerability. Transparency is just literally saying something that you probably have been, that the layman probably wouldn't necessarily say right away. So that was like, yeah, I'm being fully transparent, you know?
So. I feel like I've noticed a sort of proportional kind of, I guess, a dissonance almost of when my younger years, when I was so hell-bent on not being vulnerable and being like, my friend always says that I'm very open, but I'm not vulnerable. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I would talk about anything with anybody, but I would never, I personally wouldn't get very deep. And I think for me, a level of that came with maybe not valuing myself as much or not having self-worth or that idea of, okay, well, if I just lower my standards or I'm a people pleaser, then that gives me this false sense of that I will always be needed or there's a guarantee that I'll be wanted. And it's so not true. And I'm so in a different place now where I'm like, I love myself so much. I feel so secure with what I bring to the table. And because of that security, I'm so much more vulnerable now. Like, wild. Have you noticed any kind of changes like that for you? Or have you kind of always been a pretty vulnerable, open person? Both.
I think, well, first off, I want to say I love that about you and like your transformation. I've even noticed your videos being a little bit more like, you know, punchy and like, come on. I'm like, come on, girl. I'm like, yes, talk your best. Talk your it's so cool to see like the, you know, the metamorphosis and the growth. So I love that. And have I noticed it for me? Again, I think it's like it, things have just been amplified in certain ways more. You know, when it comes to me and how I function or experience, because like, yeah, I'm pretty vulnerable and being pretty transparent. Like, I've been told I'm a pretty good communicator. It's like, you know,
I can imagine.
Like, I don't always say things right away, but when I say it, it's like, you know, I mean it for better. For
so, you know how people talk a lot about love languages?
Yes.
There's this camp of fight languages. Have you heard about this theory?
I have. Yeah.
So what is your fight language? Kind of like, we had an argument and I need to like fix this right away, or I need space, or like, what, you know, does that come up for you with clients or like in relationships?
I think for me,
being a communicator sometimes can be a double-edged sword, because it's like, no, I see where you're coming from and I understand. And and then you try to place words for them, and then it's like, I gotta take a step away from this.
Yeah, so for me, it's funny. My fight language is, I take my time with what I say. So sometimes I will take time to process things. And I also, I tell people all the time, it's like, I don't play with my food. So in the sense of, if I'm invited to a disagreement or a conversation, I'm not looking to argue with you or go back and forth. It's like, the goal is a solution. And if I recognize that you are not looking to listen, you just want to either talk over or be heard or be validated and completely dismiss the other side, then we have nothing that we need to talk about. Because, and I, and it's something that I've noticed, you know, a lot of times people say, oh yeah, well, you need to communicate, whatever. It's like, communication means nothing without comprehension. So, you know, it's like, if you are engaging with somebody who wants to communicate or is just talking, there is a lack of comprehension. All you guys doing are, you're exchanging words. So comprehension is key in those disagreements and those dynamics. And I think a lot of times people fail to realize that that is a key component. You don't have to keep communicating with a person who is not, who is committed to misunderstanding you in a lot of ways, right? I think for me, it's like, I can do both. I can understand where you're coming from, and I could also recognize how I'm being treated and not be okay with it.
Oh my God. I say that all the time. And I also love the idea, because I think with that, communication, comprehension go together. And it's also the idea of attention versus intention. Matthew Cussey talks about this a lot.
Yep.
But it's so true, because people think just because someone's communicating or someone's just giving me attention doesn't mean that their intention is there, or their level of comprehension or consideration and effort. The two newest love languages that need to have a real glow up over the next few years.
Period.
That I think more and more people are finally understanding. But it's like, when you can understand that and then be okay with being like, I'm not getting those things here, that's fine. I'm willing to walk away from the deal. Like, that's cool with me.
We're cool. I think it's so funny. I think what, you know, entitlement is a very big thing that paints a world for a lot of people, in the sense of like, the whole love me no matter what, or you should just be willing to understand all these other things. A lot of times we are saying to people, you should be willing to tolerate my half-ass effort while giving me all of yours, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's going through things, or everybody's hurting, or it's like, well, yeah, everybody also includes me. But when you say everybody, do you mean everyone, or do you mean just you or people who move like you? Like, let's be honest about what everybody entails. And how a person considers you says a lot. Like, consideration is a very telling clue in terms of like what your relationship is going to exist as moving forward, you know? So yeah, effort and consideration. Those are two big ones, because it's not hard. If somebody wants to consider you, they will.
And it's crazy because, you know, I retook my love language test, because for so long I was always like, I don't care about gifts. I can buy gifts myself. I don't care about, I forget whatever, but, and my dad always jokes. He says I'm all five of them, which I think most people kind of are.
Yeah.
But I retook it and gifts came up as number one. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, I always joke and be like, can I just give you cash, like Jerry Seinfeld kind of style?
Yeah.
But what I realized when it was giving the explanation, it was saying it's not about the monetary value of the gift. It's about the effort and intention and the thoughtfulness that went behind it. And I was like, wow, that is so true. Because I'm always like, oh, we did this thing together and we had this coffee at this place. I got you a mug from here. And it's like the little things. And that for me really opened up that mindset of, oh, it's about you considered how this would make me feel and how your actions would make me feel. And it's such an interesting thing, because people focus so much on this idea of what they're saying. And it's like, and this idea of how much I like somebody. And it's like, no, it's not how much you like them. It's like, do I like the version that they're bringing out in me, but also like, what is their intention for me?
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah.
But for friendships too, you know, like, it's not just romantic. I think it's for friendships as well.
Oh, it's definitely for friendships. I always tell people, it's like, if you look at how somebody is as a friend first, that'll tell you how they show up in the romantic relationship. The only thing that changes is kind of the label, but the effort and all, like, we have to understand the energy is coming from the same source. Like, you're not a different person now that you're in a romantic relationship versus this. It's just like, it's energy coming from the same source. It's just about how you prioritize, you know? So how somebody treats their friends will tell you everything about how they're going to treat you in the relationship.
Yes. And their dog.
Their dog.
And their dog.
And other people's dogs.
And other people's dogs. If your voice doesn't go up a few pitches, you're a psychopath and we can't be friends. You know? I actually had in my write on or rubbish section, I have, if you don't love me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best. Because I feel like that's one of those sayings that it's like, well, are you just being a dick?
Yes, I'll say that's rubbish. Because, you know, that whole concept of everybody's doing their best is like, your best can be improved. And if your best is treating somebody in the worst way, you're not doing your best. And if that's all you got, then people can find better.
Yeah.
So, the love me at my worst. If you don't love me at my worst, you can't accept me at my best. It's like, no, I think that's just like, a lot of people weaponize that. It's like, you should tolerate me when I'm being intolerable. But the initial message probably means, well, like, yeah, when I'm in my low points and I'm going through life and everything like that, not that I'm projecting that out onto you, but I'm just struggling.
Yes.
While I'm,
you're having a bad day, not being like an absolute monster all the time.
Exactly. That's different. However, a lot of people use it in the ways of like, yeah, I should be a monster all the time. You should still love me no matter what. It's like, no, I don't.
Yeah. So. Green talks a lot about the idea of nobody ever does anything once, and people are always leaving pieces of who they are. And I heard this quote recently where it said, a mistake made more than once is a decision, more than twice is a habit, and three times is their character.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think, patterns, you know, actions speak louder than words, but I say patterns, they yell, you know?
Ooh, yes. You know? Patterns don't lie, and they definitely yell.
Are very loud, and they are very generous with their truth. And it's like, you've done this. If you have the capacity to do certain things one time, and we have to understand that as humans, we are always looking for comfort, like our homeostasis. So we want to find something that we feel comfortable with. So therefore, we will find comfort in our habits too, for better or for worse. So if a person is consistent, they're consistent. That's how they function. If a person is inconsistent, they are always going to default back to their level of inconsistency. It's just what it is. So the whole mistakes and everything like that is like, yeah, you did it once. That doesn't mean I have to necessarily wait around for it to happen again.
People love a familiar hell over an unfamiliar heaven. They love it.
I love it.
The devil you know.
Yes. The devil you know is trash.
People love it.
Yes.
It is trash.
Yeah.
Why do you think, what is the reason that the other, okay, so for the idea of right on or rubbish, when people say, don't expect you from everybody.
Yeah.
I think people can cognitively accept that and in theory.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that just stick around still and they want to, and I used to be one of these people of like, but I have to figure out why they did this and why would they do this to me? And like, how could they do this to me? So what's your thoughts on why people feel they have to stay for the why? And they can't just be like, I got to get out of here. I've seen this pattern and this devil is not it for me.
Well, I think there's a lot of layers to that. First off, my mom, she says all the time, stop expecting you from people. And I think a lot of times the reason why people stick around is because we want to be seen as a good person. If we could just change this person, then that means that we are worthy, right? If I can just show you how good of a person I am, that means you'll validate me as a good person. And in turn, maybe I'll change you. There's also FOMO, like fear of missing out. Like, oh, if I leave this person, then I'm never going to find anyone else. Or, you know, what if they actually are a good person? I didn't stick it out long enough. Like, there are all these different variables, but a lot of it comes down to a lack of self-respect. Like,
it's true.
Like it, right? It's like there's 8 billion people in the world and you're waiting for somebody to figure out if they have the capacity or time to just treat you like a decent human.
Hmm.
Why? You know, why is that? It's the fear of abandonment. It's the fear of disappointment, right? It's that, again, if I choose myself, I'm no longer choosing you, and that's going to make you mad. It's kind of like, you know, seeking the approval from the adult that you have the dysfunction with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Very true. Or kind of what we were talking about before, like this idea of, I look back on even some friendships that I had that were very one-sided. And at the time, I guess I didn't see it that way, but at the time I actually, to what we were talking about earlier, needed to feel needed, or I wanted to feel wanted. I thought that if I was doing all these things, or, you know, picking up the tab or whatever, even just like giving advice all the time. And I was like, no, they're going to need me around. I wasn't saying that at the time, but like, I understand that now. And I look back and I'm like, and when I stopped doing those things, I was like, oh, so this is the fabric of the relationship. Got it.
Yeah. It requires you to be a doormat. Like, it requires you to not have needs. It requires you to always be the giver, never the recipient. One of the conscious decisions I made for myself about a year or two ago, I said, I no longer want people that I'm friends to. I want friendship.
Wait, friends what?
I no longer am looking for people to be friends to. I am seeking friendship.
Ooh. I like that.
Yeah.
How could somebody figure out that discernment? What would be some pebbles to be
I think, like you said, the always going out of your way to be there for a person, like, you know, being the no matter what friend. Oh, yeah, you're going through a tough time. Oh, yeah, I know you're always busy. Or, hey, just checking in. Hey, let's make plans. If you were always the initiator and you were always the one that is, you know, lifting this person up, and they never have any incentive or effort to contribute to your life, that's you being somebody's friend.
Mm.
That's not a friendship, right? Yeah,
not a homie for life.
Not a homie for life. It's actually, you're their homie for now, but they are there to receive your friendship. They are not there to show up and be one.
Wow. No matter what, friends, people need to really, I think all of my listeners need to reevaluate that, because that is so true. I think there are so many people, because it's coming from that place of wanting to feel like you're involved and self-worth and love, and they must love me. And it's like, yeah, but when I stop giving the supply,
yeah,
it's like, oh, okay. So I don't serve. I actually just did a video about this the other day about there's this theme of betrayal almost that happens. And I actually think it's easier to deal with betrayal than it is with a sadness or a loss, because at least with that, there's some definitive closure of being like, whoa, now I have to see you differently. Like, you did this thing. Yes, I'm still hurt. And yes, I'm still sad because I'm a human. But I think sometimes when you're in that in-between phase of being like, wait, I don't understand, why have things changed, or why is it, am I not enough, or whatever, there's this, I call them your fantasy goggles of being like, but it'll get better and it will change. And then I'm like, no, baby girl, put on your reality goggles and see what the reality of this situation is.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, like, when you have those moments, what do you think is preventing you from, like, what's the first thought that comes in? Besides them needing you, what else do you think is creeping up for you?
What was the nature of those relationships for me?
Yeah.
I think at the time it was that idea of like, it's a perceived guaranteed that you'll want me around, kind of like things that I did in younger toxic relationships. Like, well, if I'm the only person that you can come to feel better about yourself, or if I'm the only person that can come to, cause you know that when you call me, I'll move you out of your apartment, or I'll come to I'll have great conversation starters that of course you want me there. So I think at the time, again, I didn't realize that. And it was a part of me that was maybe missing that for my life and other maybe relationships that I was having. And so I really thought at the time that, like, wow, these people, and that's why I would feel so drained when I would have to do these things. Cause I felt I think we talked about this, the sad clown thing, like you have to be so on. And I was like, it feels so not reciprocal, and not in a transactional way, but just, there is this lack of reciprocity. And I was like, that's not a friendship that is not going to be sustained. And when those moments came also, and then it was like small things too, being like, I'm always happy for people. I'm always introducing people to, you should connect with this guy or read this book or whatever, you know? And like, no one else was doing that. And I was just like, this feels very like I'm carrying everything. And I was like, I don't have to do that. And that doesn't make me a bad person. That's okay. So I think once I realized how much value I brought to the relationships as well, I was like, we're good here. It's a loss for you. And I really reevaluated, like, if I never talk to this person tomorrow, what would be missing from my life? And as cold as it sounds and callous, I was like, honestly, nothing in my life is changing. And it's that mentality of like, having access to me is a privilege. And that's not in an ostentatious way, but it's a privilege. And that's denied. And I'm sorry for you. But like,
You had choice. Right.
You had your
choice. Good for you.
You didn't pay the membership fees. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a Platinum Amex, that's going to cost you.
Right. Duh. I think that's such a good reminder, because, like, sometimes we are so fearful of walking away from relationships. And if you actually think about, well, if I was to walk away from this person, what would I be missing out on?
Yes.
And a lot of times it's nothing, because the person has not made much effort to show up and provide anything. They were there to receive from you. They were not there to reciprocate. And you'll know, because even when those relationships end, it's kind of like another Tuesday. It's like, oh.
Yes.
Another Tuesday.
Yeah. And that hurts the ego a little bit, but I think once the ego part of it fades and you're just like, what am I really missing here? And I think that's also a good reminder for people too. It really is lack scarcity mindset of, if this is removed from my life, or if I end this, then like, what is left? But I love the idea of, it's just creating space for so much more newness. Like, you want a new couch in your house, you got to get rid of the old one. You can't have two couches in your living room. That would be silly. That would be
clutter.
Not useful. Yeah, it'd be clutter. Yeah. So it's like, why am I going to have this emotional clutter? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, oh man. And this is why I think, like, the talk around friendship is so important, because there's a severity of impact that happens within friendships, but there's a lack of consideration and acknowledgement of how that actually does affect you. And then you have all these people walking around kind of voided, like, and you know, a lot of times people do treat their friends like the waiting room until they find their romantic partner, and your friends are not that. Like, these are also relationships that you got to consider and be intentional about too. These are just not the holding place until you find the love of your life, because the divorce rate is pretty high in America for a reason, which means that people are still people regardless of the titles that we give them. You know, so at any point, somebody can still be a human, even if you guys sign the dotted line in terms of like commitment and all that. It's like, and then you're expecting a level of friendship from people who you didn't really care about when it didn't, when it wasn't convenient for you, you know?
Convenience is a huge barometer too. It's like activation energy theory, you know, like it's, if my credit card's in the other room and I have all this stuff in my Amazon cart, I'm not going to order it, you know?
Right.
And I think friends do that too, with this idea of how convenient is it for me and what am I getting out of it? And it's like, I'm big on any kind of energetic audits, friendship audits, health audits. Like you audit that and then you're just like, okay, this, and I think it sounds again, callous, but it's like, you can reevaluate any contract in your life at any time. And you're just like, this contract has ended. It was, doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not serving me anymore, or for the life that I'm trying to create, or the rooms that I'm trying to get into. Like, does it make you a bad person? Does it make me a bad person? Just like, and I wish people could be honest enough, the way that you break up with, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends, to just be like, you know what, this, I call them Larry David moments, just being like, this just is not, I'm not interested in this anymore. But you like, it's just so not a part of our culture.
Right. I mean, it's, I actually had that conversation with someone recently where, you know, they came to me, they were like, hey, you know, this isn't, our relationship has been different for a while. And, you know, I think I'm going to just go elsewhere or whatever. And I wished them well. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I told them, I was like, unfortunately, I've just noticed that there's been a lack of consideration and effort. Like, that's not sustainable. And that was my response to them. But it's like, yeah, I wish you well nonetheless. However, this is why the relationship dynamic has changed. It just didn't happen out of thin air. And I think a lot of times people do try to be passive with the whole, oh yeah, well, we just grew apart, or we just have separate lives or whatever. It's like, no, a lot of times there was a lack of consideration on somebody's end to treat the other person like a priority.
What I think, I feel like you've done some videos on this idea of growing apart and people kind of using that as like, we didn't really grow apart. It's been this, it's been slow dance in a burning room for a while.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, you don't, you know, you say you grew apart as the PC version of, you probably stopped trying, or, you know, you did something that you didn't hold yourself accountable for, right? There were certain things said or done that you're fully aware of, but it's like, in order to save your face or your reputation, you tell other people, oh yeah, we just grew apart. Mm-hmm. It's like, did you get in a relationship and you dropped that friendship? Did you constantly bail on this person and they stopped reaching out to you? You know, did you say or do something that was just like a little bit off color? Were you just not supportive to that person where like they were always reaching out to you, but you never did the work and they stopped, right? What does actually growing apart look like? You know?
Yeah. I think that's a huge thing in relationships too. Friendship and romantic is actually figuring out what your definition of anything means. Like my definition of effort could be very different than your definition of effort. My definition of growing apart. And I think that's what happens too. As you get older, it's like, did I evolve as a person? And you are now just thinking that I changed in a bad way. It's like, or our definitions perhaps have evolved and we have different synonyms now, or we've developed a different, you know, version of what that means. And people also make you, or they try to make you feel bad with this of like, you've changed. And it's like, and you haven't. So who's the, nobody's wrong here. Like, okay. And you haven't. So what's up? What's good?
Right. What's good? It's like, yeah, I have changed. And it's like, and just because this relationship dynamic has changed doesn't mean I necessarily became a different person. I have just become a person that you no longer have access to.
Yeah. That's my new favorite flex, is just being like, access denied.
Access denied. And it's all good. It's like, you know, there's some people who want you to fight for their attention and other people just don't. It's like, yeah, I don't, I've experienced you enough. So like having you around is, that's not something that I'm seeking. Like me keeping my distance with you is not for you to chase me down and figure out what happened. Sometimes people are at peace, like with there being some distance. Right? Genuinely at peace.
Yeah. It's not that deep for them sometimes, because people like you and I think when you're so involved in this space, you assume that everybody is like really looking into like, well, how and why. And it's like, for some people, it's really just not that deep. And my mom says that to me all the time. And I'm like, but it should be.
But it is. Yeah. Well, the thing about going deeper is that sometimes if we go a little bit deeper, we have to see how shallow we are, or we have to sit with ourselves. And what I've understood too is a lot of people don't like being with themselves, right? That's not something that people do in their pastime. And it's like, You know, that's why everybody has, you know, that's why hookup culture is such a thing too, where it's like, I want something for me now, but I'm not looking to invest because I'm going to just get this thing from elsewhere. Like, I'm going to move around where I never have to commit, you know, but also I'm never held accountable either. And it's like, you shouldn't expect anything from me, but I should expect to receive what I need from you.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody though, who is maybe not good at just sitting with themselves or being alone, or like, they're like, all right, I know I got to do this, but this is, what am I going to do? A bubble bath for 20 minutes and I got 16 hours left in my day. So what else can I do? How does somebody start to build that protocol out?
I tell people, instead of being so critical of who you are, or who you think you should be, you know, approach it with some level of curiosity instead. Like, there's a difference between being a harsh critic and just somebody who's curious to understand what's going on. Because like, you can even ask yourself, well, why don't I want to be with myself? That is curiosity right there. It's not a definitive answer. It allows there to be room to question, like, okay, what in my history has made me kind of resistant to spending time with Isaiah? Or like, you know, what is me being with myself translate to? Sometimes I think people think, oh, if I'm by myself, then I am worthless. If I'm by myself, I am lonely, no one likes me, and all these other things. And it's like, no, the more comfortable and safe you feel with yourself, the more you can recognize relationship dynamics with other people. The reason why is because you are your homeostasis.
It's so true. You are your homeostasis. If that's not on merch, I swear to God.
You are your homeostasis. I'm going to write that down. I got
emotional broccoli. I'm still waiting for that.
Yes, I really do. I've been slacking. It's like, and the perfectionism in me is like, oh man, what are these shirts going to look like? Hang on, let me write that down.
I know. Well, you have dope merch, so I understand the bar that you've set for yourself and expecting excellence for yourself. I get it.
It's so toxic.
It is. It really is. I actually had somebody on, and we were talking about this idea of like this self-improvement trap and cycle of, you know, wanting to, and if you hold a high standard for yourself, then it's kind of, I don't know, expected of every area of your life. And that's just, that's not sustainable. And I have been personally trying to lean into this idea of focusing on the process,
and
the output, and not necessarily the outcome, and like little by little adds up. And like, that's just been, and this idea of like, you never submit your first draft. You just don't, you know, you're a writer. You never submit your first draft.
Right. Yeah. It's true. It's like, you never, cause I think even for my book, as like, it went through a couple of edits, like revisions, other people had their eyes on it, all that good stuff. I like your sweatshirt, by the way. I like the lettering. I saw that before. I was like, let's go.
Thank you.
Yeah,
this was not Kyle approved. I went rogue on this. My brother, who does like all my design and stuff, he hated the graphic because on the back I have full fuck yes, because that's like, and then like the F word is like whatever bleeped out. And I've made a story about it, and I was like, this has not been approved stylistically by Kyle. He's going to hate it, but people like it. So now I'm going to tell him that you like it too.
Yeah, tell him that I like it. I approve. It's definitely a vibe. Oh man, it's being an artist, being a person that is in personal development. I think it's like, you're dealing with yourself while you are engaging with other people. And I think sometimes that is the beauty of being a human and going through your own experiences, is like, you have the ability to genuinely level with another person. You know, sometimes there are people out there who are, you know, credentials wise, they have this level of superiority or, pretentiousness to them, where it's like they talk down their nose to other people. And one of the things I realized is like, a lot of times your textbook knowledge does not translate to your life knowledge. Like, you can know all you want and you still don't know how to connect to the person you're supposed to be connected to. Right?
Hell yeah.
And
difference between being wise and being smart.
Talk about it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big difference. And it's like, you know, it's cool to be well-read, but it's amazing to be well-rounded, like have something that you can speak to.
I love that. That's why you're probably the perfect dinner party guest. People want you in the center.
I go to the corner. He's like, you want me where? I'm going home.
Have you heard about this trend? I think it's on TikTok, and it talks about the perfect relationship is actually like somebody is golden retriever energy and somebody's black cat energy.
I think
like that's what makes a couple laugh. Not this green test, green line theory and whatever, asking about what did you think about the bird from the Gottman Institute? It's like,
yeah,
who's the black cat and who's the golden retriever?
Oh, that is hilarious, because it's like, I've had this weird aversion to cats for so long. I was like, I just don't like them. They're standoffish. They're like, you know, they're just whatever. They're teenagers. They're like, don't touch me. Deal with me when I want to deal with you, et cetera. And then I was like, do I behave like a cat?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no. I was like, that's probably because sometimes we, you know, we don't like the things that kind of exhibit us the most.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this past weekend, I was an indoor cat. I only left to go to the gym and Whole Foods. And then I was like, I'm on my couch and I'm loving my life. I'm having a full rot weekend and I am here for it.
Yeah. And it's all good. It's funny because I love dogs. I was at the bakery the other day and I saw a dog and it was like coming up to me. Dogs and babies. I don't know what it is, but
good, pure energy.
It reminds me that, like, hey, you are probably a better human than what you think. Because, like, I think it were, like, 2 days in a row. Like, I saw this baby at the grocery store, and immediately it looked at me. I was, like, waving at it, and it was, like, smiling. Two little teeth. Adorable. And then it put its hand out for me to, like, give it a high five. So I was, like, pounding it and, like, doing the explosion, and it just kept doing it. And his parents were having a ball. They were like, oh, thank you. It was so sweet. And then I was at the bakery, and then there's just this little dog that just kept like rubbing up against me. Its owner was standing over there having a chit chat, and the dog just came over, and I was like playing with the dog. I was just like, this is life for me.
It's because they're the purest form animals, like, and children. They don't have the biases that we have yet and these whatever preconceived notions and filters. They can just sense pure energy.
It really does like remind me, like it keeps me grounded, but it also is just like, this is a reminder. Like, yeah.
But you know what's crazy? Because we literally only know each other from Instagram, but I'm like grateful for us to have even like the friendship that we have. But it's wild because you really are such a light and a resource to people on ways that you'll probably never comprehend because you're too self-effacing. But like people have access to you, which is crazy. And you like literally are changing people's lives and not even just in their good times. Cause I think that of course is important, but you know, that time when you're in your life and you are hanging on by a thread and you're like looking for a life raft and you say a word or a video. And for you, you don't even know the impact that you're having on people and the life raft that you're being to people. And it's so crazy that people, like, we live in a world now where people can have access to you and feel like they know you, even if they don't know you. And like, it's just really cool to, you know, see that. And like, for me to be able to send you a voice memo and like, you know, I just really respect what you're doing. And I think you're impacting so many lives and you just never know. It is really such a deferred gratification game, but it's like, it's just really cool to see how much someone like you, especially from a male's perspective, to your point of shoulder to shoulder, like you can destigmatize things and make it cool and like deadlift and talk about being vulnerable at the same time.
Like I love, thank you so much for saying that. That really does mean a lot. Like, I don't want to step over that. Because I think every time we are reminded of our significance, it shouldn't be downplayed or looked over or dismissed. Yes. So thank you for saying that. And I mirror that to you. Is like, that's why, you know, I think for me in life, I've become very picky about who I want to share space and time with. And it's like, you know, you're the homie from afar, but it's like, it really is that dynamic of, I recognize this person appreciates me and I appreciate them. And we just do the dance.
Love it. The dance, the ping song, I call it, you know, the back and forth, you know,
it's good.
It is so good. I was telling my mom that you're coming back on the podcast and she's like, isn't he from New Jersey or doesn't he live in New Jersey? I'm like, no, I keep trying to bully him to come back to New Jersey. I'm like, so we can all hang out.
Yeah. Well, I'll be back in Jersey this summer because I have to do another book signing. Like,
where do you know where in Jersey yet?
Montclair.
Oh, I'm coming. Send me the details because I will be there.
I will. Yes.
I will be there fangirling full scent in the front. If you want me to make a sign or bring a snack, let me know.
Yes, I'll be. It was funny because I was initially going to surprise my mom for her birthday, and she ended up flying out here to surprise me for my book signing.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I always joke, mom, no one will ever love you like your mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your dad. You know, like I say that all the time. Like, I remember one time my mom, I don't know, like brought fruit down to my brother and I was like, no one will ever love you like this. Remember that.
Yeah. How did he respond? What did he say?
He's like, I know, no one's supposed to love me like this. Like, if my mom and I will double team and be like, no one will ever love you as much as me and mom do. And he's like, I know.
It's true. I think it's cool. You know, some people are not, they don't have, unfortunately, is like sometimes their first bullies come from their family, right? And then they go through life with that being the kind of the, I don't know if precipice is the right word, but like they're the prototype for all relationships to exist moving forward. And they have this idea that they're unlovable, that they don't deserve these things. But it's like, you know what? Sometimes you do have family that you're born into, but then you have family that you find along the way in life.
They say friends are God's way of apologizing for your family.
Yes.
Is that right on or rubbish?
I think that's a right on. And then I think the extra part to that is sometimes we are consistently choosing people that remind us of what we are trying to heal from.
Oh, yeah, that was my first few relationships in my life. So that's over. That's canceled.
Yeah, that's canceled. We are out of business.
We have evolved. That's over. That's closed. Well, because I appreciate your time so much, and like you are a busy person and you have so much knowledge to drop, I want to do a few more write-ons and rubbish, and then I'm going to leave you with one little question for the, and then of course tell all the people like all the things, how they can work with you and your books and
yeah,
all things. Okay.
All right.
So write-on or rubbish.
Okay.
If the cost is peace of mind, don't buy it. Write-on or rubbish.
Yes. Right on. Yeah. Right on. Like, we have to understand that currency is not just monetary. Currency can exist in your emotional space, your mental health and well-being, your mental longevity, your sense of trust, like your ability to function in other relationships. Like, anything that is truly costing you your peace, even your own behavior, is not worth it. Like, it's really not good, you know?
Love it.
So, yes, right on, for sure.
Right on. Okay. Yeah. Better an oops than a what if.
So better a oops. So make a mistake versus never trying at all.
Mm-hmm. Right on or rubbish.
I think that's a right on. It's like, you know, a lot of things that you will accomplish in life come from you failing forward. Like there's no such thing as you failing if you are continuously showing up and learning.
Yes.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay.
Yeah.
Two more and then one closing question. Okay. Time heals all wounds.
No, it doesn't.
I knew we were aligned on this. Rubbish.
Yeah, rubbish. I think time is an opportunity for you to work on your healing. However, it is not responsible for the lack of healing that you don't do.
Preach.
Yes. So.
Agreed. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on or rubbish. A dead end is just a good place to turn around.
A dead end is just a good place to turn around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but don't go back to the dead end later.
Good.
So I think it's like, you know, right on. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't pull a Michael Scott and just keep driving into the lake when it said to turn left a few.
It literally said your GPS was telling you, hey, turn left 2 miles ago. And it's like, you're still doing this. So,
yes, yeah. I love that. Okay. Yeah. So, the last question I want to leave you with that I just came across it today, actually. So, there's this idea of practicing the art of thankfulness. So, it's obviously synonymous with gratitude. So, the more you have to be thankful for. So, this girl does this kind of voiceover of How lucky am I that I have legs that can walk me to the gym? How lucky am I that I have a house that I can make breakfasts in? How lucky am I that I get to have an amazing conversation like this? So how lucky are you? How lucky am I, XYZ? Like, what are you feeling like super lucky about that you're just stoked?
How lucky am I to have lived the colorful life that has allowed me to help other people heal through my own experiences without me deteriorating or coming undone because of it? So it's like, how lucky am I that I had the stamina, endurance, the ability to, you know, move through life the way I have, and I can help other people do the same thing? Like, how lucky am I?
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's like the biggest one. And it's like, you know, how lucky am I to just be me? Like, I, you know, you could be anything else in life, but none of it will ever stick because it's not who you are. So, yeah.
Spoken like a true poet, like a true artist.
Come on. Thanks for that question. That's a good one. What about you? Wait, no, your turn now.
How lucky am I?
Yep.
How lucky am I that I have connected with people from this podcast that I would have never connected with in any other world that I can literally now call friends and homies and people that are truly inspiring. Like, I feel so lucky that I have a resource of a network that I could literally not only like go to their page or text them, but to be like, this person has positively impacted me from having a random conversation with a stranger who's now become a huge impact on other areas of my life. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's too late for me to go back and change that. But it's like you said, I think it's like, how lucky is it to just come across people in life who remind you that you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do, because here we are, you know?
Like, in what universe, you know?
In what universe? This one, you know?
This one. I love it. Yeah. The best universe.
I love that.
How lucky are we? You should, I know this, the voiceover was really cool. The girl like went on this whole rant, like, and she had obviously like the cool background music and the B-roll, whatever, but how lucky am I? And like named five or six things. And I just thought that, I think people are over the gratitude journal right now. Like, people are like, I get it. I'm supposed to be grateful. And they're like, but I'm also like stressed out, or I'm anxious, whatever, you know? And they're like, no, I understand. I'm grateful. And I understand I can't be anxious and grateful at the same time. Like, I get it. What else can we do here? So I always tell people, I always say like, what was, you know, what's in my good right now? Or like, what was my good today kind of thing? But I think that's also a good reframe of like, how lucky am I? I just was like, oh, okay, I like that.
I'm going to write that down, because I do gratitudes every night. But I think that how lucky am I is a really cool concept that I'm going to implement also.
Yeah. Sometimes people, I feel like, are put off to it a little bit if they're from a place where they're like, no, I've tried all these things and I can't go to another sound bath healing and I can't have another crystal like on my throat chakra today. Like, I just, what else do you have in your toolbox? You know? What else is there?
My throat chakra is effing tired. I hate
it. Like, I can't speak my truth anymore today. What else do you have?
I'm done speaking. Give me something else, because I'm not feeling lucky. Oh, that's, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's there's one thing I like to do. I do a show me proof kind of exercise or affirmation. But whenever I am kind of in this space of seeking clarity or just reaffirmation, I always say, show me proof in the world of ... So if you are trying to improve your self-worth, your body positivity or whatever, it's like, show me proof that what I am doing is working for me and that it's healthy. It's showing me positive results. You just say, show me proof in the world. And it's like, you think of a red car, and then every time you drive down the street, you see a red car. So like, show me proof just means that you start to look for what it is that you want to see.
Yeah. Wayne Dyer talks about that all the time. He wrote that book. People always say like, as you think, so shall, or no, it's, I'll believe it when I see it. And it's really, I'll see it when I believe it.
See it when yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah. I think one of his books is titled that actually, or he has like a PBS talk.
Okay.
If I find it, I'll send it to you.
Please. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a good one. Okay. So this has been the peak of my week, but how can people follow you, work with you? I know you're huge on TikTok and Instagram. Like, you got, where should, you're at Barnes and Nobles. Like, where can people get more of you?
They can follow me. They can follow the podcast, first of all, the Burnt Brain Podcast. They can reach out for coaching. I'm accepting new clients, so they can reach out. The link is in my bio, Isaiah Frizzell on Instagram. And my book is The Coloring Book. That's in Barnes and Nobles and also on Amazon. And it's an adult self-help / coloring book. I think it's the first one out there. Somebody was saying like they've never seen a book like that. So it's a hybrid of a workbook and a coloring book that I wrote and illustrated. So, yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, I'm all over the place. Sometimes you might see me on TV. But, yeah.
Well, thanks for your time. And I can't wait to see you in Montclair.
Oh, yes. I will keep you posted. Once I get the dates and everything figured out, I will definitely have you on the line and be like, hey, it's going down here.
Yeah.
We're going to turn up in Jersey. It's going to be good to be back. I haven't been back to Jersey in almost like 3 years, I think. So.
In the summer, it's our time to shine.
Period.
Period. Thank you.
Thank you. So good to see you.
You too. Ciao.